So the Shulchan Aruch writes that lemons that the Gayim cut, or fish, are mutter. What's the reason? So the Rama explains because they cut a whole bunch of lemons at once, and even if some of them became usser, namely the first ones that were cut, but they're batel berov among those that were cut subsequently. Now, even though ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila, but they're, first of all, the guy was the one that did this bittel, and they weren't mechavei in the bittel, and therefore, at this point, I'm allowed to buy them. Now, the Rama says that some of them became aser. It's not clear exactly how many of them became aser. If you look at the source of this in the Shiboli Aleket, it sounds like only one or two became aser. So that's this halacha. Now, the first thing we have to figure out here is, why is this true? So there's two concerns that we have to deal with. One of them is that perhaps the knife that the guy used was a dirty knife, and it was dirty with shamnunis shel iser. So then I could understand that whatever shamnunis was there originally got wiped away after the first bunch of lemons were cut. And effectively, the knife was clean after the first three or four or five or one or two are cut. And mimela, the ones that got dirty are going to be bought b'rov. That makes a lot of sense. However, what's more problematic is the issue of blios. Presumably, lemons are a davar charif, and therefore, the blios inside the knife are going to be a problem. And we don't say stam sakin nezenu ben yomo because it's mechayel el shvach. In other words, don't we usually assume that, let's say, I have a treif pot and I cook something in it, and then I cook another thing in it, and another thing in it, and another thing in it, at li'olam ba'ed, they're all aser. Because maybe the stuff came out the first time, or the second time, or the 50th time. So too, why don't I say the first onion they cut is aser, the second, the third, the fourth, the 50th, the 100th? That's the question. So take a look at the Shach, Sif Katan Chaf, who writes that Taka the Bach says, answers this question by asserting that the Shiboli Aleket must learn like the Maram, that we only say that Chorfa Mechayel El Shvach by Chiltis, and therefore lemons aren't going to be Mechayel El Shvach. The only concern is going to be the Shamnunis, and the Shamnunis, like we said, is very easily, it's very easy to understand why it would be Batel the first two, after the first two, three, four, ten lemons. Fine. But the Shach shows that this is wrong, and clearly we who paskin like the Shiboli Aleket assume the Bach is wrong, because we paskin like the Sefer Truma, that even non-chiltis are going to be mechayel el shvach, and yet we paskin like this halacha. So how do we justify it? So the Shach answers, well, maybe lemons aren't that charif, and therefore they're only mechayel el shvach, the balua, from the first one or two times. What does that mean exactly? Saying that if you had something that's really gesund and stark, very, very charif, so then it will be bolea from the entire knife. But something that's only moderately charif, like lemons, will be bolea just from the outer surface of the knife, and that will be batel eventually. Now, the Shach here is not fundamentally changing the equation. He's saying the following. He's simply saying that they'll be batel more quickly. Meaning to say, even if it was davar charif lagamai, even if it was chiltis, after hundreds of chiltises that were cut, you would certainly eventually have a rov. Rather, because lemons aren't so charif, and therefore the only concern is the outer edge of the knife, so therefore it'll be batel more quickly. Just to take an example, let's say you had there's enough tam in the outer surface of the knife to give tam in the netila and the kedei netila of five lemons, right? After five lemons, it would run out. So therefore, if you had a total of 11 lemons that were cut, it would be mutter, because 6 out of 11 would be mutter. Now, you'll say, but aren't we choshesh, like I asked before, that even if you cooked 100 different dishes in a treif pot, the 100th dish is treif, right? Why aren't we concerned? Because maybe it came out this time. So that's true. But here, either it came out the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the sixth time, or the 11th time. So, manavshach, if I cut 11 lemons, since there's only enough to possibly asser 5 of them, so I could eat all 11 lemons. Okay, maybe I shouldn't eat all 11 lemons, the vasachas, if you learn like the Rashba, but I don't think that's an issue. You're not going to eat too many lemons at the same time, or lemon juice, or lemonade, whatever it is. Okay, good. So that's what the shach answers. In other words, fundamentally, again, even when it comes to Blio Shalisser, we're willing to apply Rov. And we're going to basically calculate how far this Isser could go. And then once you know you had more than twice that amount, so then we're willing to say Bittel B'Rov. That's what the Shach says. But this does not really seem to fully answer the question, L'didan. This would make sense if you hold like the Mechaber, that we don't say Hanan by Shari Surin. But L'didan, we say Hanan by Shari Surim. So why are we concerned that, let's say you cut lemon number one, and that became Aser, and the Tam Shel Iser was Niflat into the lemon, and replaced by new lemon juice, that now was Nasa Nevela, and once you have the issue of Hanan, then conceivably, it could Aser Li'ol Avad. Each time it goes in and out and in and out, two lemons get tam, the third lemon no tam, but it's nasa nevela, then so on and so forth. Once you put chanan into the equation, then l'chora, you no longer could presume ever that there would be a rov shel heter. So who asks that question? Among others, the Minchas Yaakov, it's cited in the Primagadim. So it's a very good question, but I didn't really see a very good answer. I'll tell you some of the answers I found and what I think. The Minchas Yaakov answers that Charif can't do two things. It can't be Maflit u'mavliya b'kliyachad. So in order to Asra al Yidei Chanan, you need to be Maflit from the Sakin into the lemon, and then within the lemon, the Chanan is Chal, and then the Sakin would have to be Shuv Boleya from the lemon. And he says, Charif can't do all of that. So the Prima God says, Mechatesi. As we found that the Rishonim say that Iroi is not a Maflet u'mavliya, but who says Charif isn't Maflet u'mavliya? V'im tim tzolomar, that's the Prima God's question. I had a more basic question, which is even if you assume that Charif isn't Maflet u'mavliya, but that only is with respect to Hanan within the lemon. What about Hanan within the walls of the knife? We pass him like the Ramban, against the Ramban, and we say Hanan by Blios. So therefore, all you need is the lemon to be Nivla into the wall of the knife, and then Hanan will kick in, and then the next lemon will be Aser. So I didn't understand that answer. We do say that. That's why we pass him like the Rashba. We say Hanan by Kalim. We don't pass him like the Ramban. What does this have to do? Evan Ozer was a kula, not bar not, right? But Evan Ozer said that. One second. Let me think about what you're saying. Then Evan Ozer is a kula by not bar not, right? But that's not relevant here. This is Isser. The Evan Ozer is a special kula when it's a teira. That the chiddush that you don't. What he said was that the chiddush that we don't say not bar not by davar charif, that it doesn't go down a level, is only one way, not both ways, right? That's true. That's a special kula when it comes to not bar not, but that's irrelevant here when we're dealing with tam shel iser. Okay. The Mishpat Zozav and Yud Beis give some other answer. He thinks that since, according to the Taz, we're talking about lemon juice and not lemons, that's going to change things because at least b'makom hefsid, we don't say chanan by lach b'lach. But I don't really see how why that helps, because again, you still have chanan and the lemons.
I'm just confused. You're saying the Minchas Yaakov says that harf can't be mafli mafli at kafa. So you're saying, and Prima Donna says, and you said, even if you assume like that, so why wouldn't the lemon be canonified inside the night?
Right.
But if you're saying lemon can't, charif can't be mafid mafid gathah, so the lemon never got into the night.
No, that's just maflet. Right? One level, straight from the lemon into the knife. That much we know charif could do. And right. Then once it's in the knife, there's b'leo shel iser. So inside the walls of the knife, chanan, bada bing. Good. If you said like, maybe the Minchas Yaakov thinks that, you know, we're so meich, we're mitzdarich the opinion of the Ramban, since there's a bunch of other chumras here anyway, right? Maybe lemons aren't charif, and maybe even if they are charif, it's only chiltis, and b'chulei b'chulei. Maybe that's what he was thinking. But on its own, I don't see why that would help.
Didn't the lemon have to, or the charifas have to get the iser out of the knife first, and then it was nasis the veil, and then have to go back into the knife?
So you'll switch off. Half the times it'll go out, half the times it'll go in. One knife, it'll, one knife, one, the first lemon, so the tam, nevela, half of it goes out. The second cutting, it's replaced by new lemon. That lemon is nevela. Third knife now becomes usser. Fourth cut.
Right.
So,
there's always going to be some amount of iser in the knife.
Well, we can never assume that it always goes out. That we know is always the assumption, right? L'chora, that's always the assumption. In other words, that's why if you have a treif pot and you cook 100 different things in it, we assume that the 100th one is treif, right? Maybe the first 99 nothing happened, and the 100th one it all came out.
I mean, this psak is assuming that it all went out. The psak
is the Shubha Leket just saying that whatever happens, no matter what, you'll have Rov Heter. Worst case, because they're all together. In other words, what would be the halach? We're going to get to this in just a moment. But l'chor, according to the Shubha Leket, we said before, if you have a treif pot, right, and you cook 100 dishes, so even the 100th one is aser, because maybe nothing came out the first time, it all came out the 100th time. Fine. According to Shmuel Aleket, if you cook 100 dishes and they're all in front of you, then presumably you could eat them, right? Because of bittul yavish b'yavish, it would be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now all that's fine, again, until you get to Chanan. Okay. So the Badei HaShulchan gives an answer, I don't remember if he quoted it from someone, also very big chiddush. He wanted, you see me, the kasha is so strong, you have to say, very, he says maybe the lemons will work because of ne'itza. What does that mean? That, right, you'll first say, what do you mean? Ne'itza only works for shamnunis, right? But no, we, the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara said, right, who was it? The two people came before Shfur Malka, and one of them, who were they?
One of them,
we don't want to say his name anyway. It's Lashon Hara, right? Okay, so
yeah,
right. It was Rav Yehuda.
You said? Yehuda and somebody. It's Mar Yehuda.
Mar Yehuda. Okay, Mar Yehuda and somebody else. So where it came before Shmuel Malka. So Shmuel Malka was having esrog. So he cut off a piece of esrog. He ate it. He cut off a piece of esrog for the other fellow. He gave it to him. And then when it came to Mar Yehuda, he did ne'itza. And he gave it to him. So now, according to the Rashba, esrogs are charif. So how does ne'itza work? Bishlama ne'itza gets off the shamunis, right? But how does ne'itza work? So apparently, ne'itza works even to get rid of blios. How? Interesting question. In Junzman, we'll talk about it. Then the other guy said, why don't you do ne'itza for me? So he said to him, there's a certain hospitality that they have at the Shmuel Malka's house that this fellow availed himself to, and Mar Yehuda didn't. I mean, the point is, you see from there that what's the halacha? The halacha is that nitzah works even for charif. So therefore, you cut 10 lemons, right? So the lemons are apparently very hard; they're like nitzah, and therefore, memela afterwards, it's going to be good. Now that assumes a certain metzias, which is that after you could be sure after the 10 cuts, nothing from the original thing was left, and therefore we'll say ana nasar. So maybe that's not how ne'itza works. But if you think, because ne'itza maybe only works as new things aren't going into it, but that's what he says. I think the pashtus is that you have to say we don't combine chumras. In other words, since according to the Maharam it's mutter, you could be so meich on the opinion that we don't say chanan by shari surin. Maybe. It's not, that's not so glad either. That's already a little bit like the second answer at the shach. The second answer at the end of the shach basically is that this kula of lemons is not mikar adin, but since we're so meich on the Ramah, based off of Otsi Rufim, right? Maybe they use clean kalim, and sometimes, and maybe we're matir, even betznon, like the Maram, if it's Eno Ben Yomo and the like. So the second answer of the shach is basically, you're right, these lemons shouldn't be mutter. If we follow all of the rules, all of the chumras that independently we generally are choshesh for, then taka the lemons would be aser. But because there are so many various tzirufim lahakau, then we're willing to be mako. And maybe even the first answer has to say something along those lines to deal with the problem of chanan. Okay. Now, because, as we pointed out, this kula isn't so pashat, not everybody agrees to it. If you take a look at the Gra, Sifkat and Yadalad, the Gra writes that the Prichadash is machmir. In other words, he disagrees with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, you can't buy the lemons. And the truth is that if you think about it, this kula is really against the Gemara. Why? Because the Gemara says you can't buy chiltis from Gayim. Now, why don't we say the same thing? After all, you should be able to buy chiltis from Gayim because it's going to be batel, because it only asers the first bunch of chiltises, and then they're aser. So you could say, oh, maybe that's a new kimta. That's talking about, like, you know, fresh-to-order chiltis from a guy. You know, you don't just, there's not like hundreds of chiltises in the shuk, and, you know, you could pick one of them. It's when you go to the guy and say, cut me a piece of chiltis, or all sorts of other answers. But you have to make some type of chiluk. You have to say, maybe like the shach said, that here, this isn't so strong. But even that would be mutter if you had enough. So the pashup shot is that this is against the Gemara. So we've talked about how to miyashit that kasha, but we could certainly understand where the Pri Chadash is coming from when he disagrees with this halacha and is machmir. Now this brings us to, before going on, one very kaliastika point, all the way back to the beginning of the year. So in Simen Tzadiches, the Rama writes the following: Simen Tzadiches Sif Dalet Iser Shenizbato Bekedera Besiruv Misham VeNafaluk Deracheres Tzarech Lachzor Levatlo B'Shishim Neged Kulo V'Chein Liola. So this is the halacha that we just said. You had an iser that fell into pot one. You took it out, fell into pot two. Took it out, fell into pot 100. Took it out, fell into pot 101. All the pots are aser. V'Chein Liola. Doesn't this din go against the kula of the shibuli haleket by lemons? So maybe we'll get out of that, and we'll say, oh, the Rama holds of chanan by shari surim, and how do you deal with chanan over here? Like we said. Okay, maybe we'll get out of that raya. But there's another raya against this. This is pointed out by the, this, both of these are pointed out by the Megillah Sefer, in Simen Sarivav Os Dalet Sifkatan Tazayin, page 103. What about the Mechaber? The Mechaber in Simen Kufhei, Siftes, writes, Ul'inyan shar chaticho shenim lechu yachad, im ein b'chol achas mehen, b'fe'atzma shishim, levatel ha'chelev, asuros, ve'in mitstarfin b'yachad levatel, Dein chelav mifapeh mechaticha lechaticha belo rota by chalav. Vim yadua im naga bekulan kulan asuros. So why is im yadua shenaga bekulan kulan asuros mean? Why don't we just say it's nisbat al chad betray? So if you take a look at the shach over there, sif katan lamid. So he says maybe chanan, and he says, well, that works to explain the Rama. But what about according to Mechaber? And basically, he left off with the Tzarchiyad. Aval Mechaber, the Safer Le, the Lo, Aminan Chanan, B'Shari Surin, Kasha, the Tzarchiyad. So basically, We have a situation where both the Rama and the Mechaber don't seem to say that we apply Bittul Berov, even though statistically speaking, you should apply Bittul Berov. Again, what does the Shibul Elekech say over here? That as long as statistically speaking, you know Rov or Heter, even though some are Isser and you don't know which one is which, so go ahead and say Bittul Berov. Well, we have the Rama in Simen Tzariches, and Mechaber and Simen Kofhei both saying we don't apply statistical roves based off of that. So how do we explain the Mechaber? So the Chazon Ish in Simen Lamed Gimel, Oz Beis, says the following answer. He says maybe when Chazal were misaking that when there's Isser that went into Heter, the only way to be Matir it is Al Yudei Te'ima. We're not Matir Al Yudei Rov. And therefore, let's take the case of the Mechaber. Even though you know that rove of these pieces are heter, right? Because there's not enough Isser to go around assuring everything else. But kach teknu chazal, that the only way to be misake, to eat something where Isser touched heter, came in contact with heter, is al piti maskakam. It's a low plug. So then we would understand simen kofei and simen sariches. This would also explain the following. As we noted, it's very appropriate that on the last shiur of Taroas Bas Vachalav, we get back to this point that we raised in the very first shiur. So we raised the question in the first shiur, one second, I've never tasted Leos from Kalim, certainly not stainless steel Kalim. So is that relevant? So I've mentioned many times that often Rabbi Schachter will say, oh, we have to have a convention of the rabbis and basically be matir this, whatever that means exactly. Apparently, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach would also throw that in as a sniff in various shilas. He'd say, well, you know, anyway, besides everything else, we, you know, practically speaking, in reality, we know you're not going to taste the Isser here. Oh. So if you learn like the Chazon Ish, and that taka raised a very interesting question. Like, why can't we be mako? Why can't we just have one set of pots? And say, okay, we know bibarer. So maybe you'll say bitul asilachatchila. Fine. At least every bidyavid shaila where you already messed up, say, I know for sure there's not going to be any tam. Why is that like a sniff when you have five other sniffim? So maybe you'll throw that in. But why can't we just rely on that lachatchila on its own? So if you learn like the Chazon Ish, the answer is very simple. The answer is that that was gufa the takana. The takana was when Isser and Heter interact in a way that would allow for blios, at least potentially, like cooking or tzli or the like, then they were misakin across the board that it's asher unless there's te'ima. That would explain the mechaber in kofhei and the Raman tzariches. The only problem with that theory is that it's against our simon, right? In simon tzarivav, Sif Dalad, we see that we paskin like the Shibul Eleket, that we say Rove. And it's also not so posh. Not only is it against the Shulchan Aruch over here, but clearly you see the Shach didn't think it was correct. Otherwise, the Shach, you know, the Shach left the Mechaber and Kofhei off with the Tzarchiyah. When we did Kofhei, we did mention some other solutions to this problem, to the Shach's question. And therefore, the Pashtus is not like the Chazon Ish you see from Simen Tzadi Vav. The Chazon Ish is wrong. Simen Tzadi Ches, you'll say, is because of Hanan. And Simen Kofei, you'll say whatever we said at the time. But this is a very interesting question. Yeah. Okay. Now, back to a Sif Dalad. Yeah, sorry.
So how do you answer the question if you don't call back?
From Simen Kofei?
No, in other words, if you don't fall back on the stainless steel question.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the answer is that Chazal said we have to be choshish. And until we know otherwise, it's different than what the Chazon Ish is saying. Chazal say, the Gemara says, Rishonim also, we have to be choshish that blios happened. The Chazon Ish is taking that one step further, which is, I'm saying, if you were to know Bibira that it's mutter, if Eliyahu told you that there's no tam here, it would be mutter. Assuming Eliyahu's knowledge wasn't because he tasted it. Right? So then it would be mutter. It's simply that Chazal said we have to be choshish for blios, minastam, and therefore we continue to be choshish for blios, even though we don't think it's very likely, or we think it's extraordinarily unlikely. The Chazon Ish takes it one step further, and he says, no, even if you know Bevadai it's Heter, based off of Rov, for example, it's still Aser, because of this Takana. But that Takana, the Gemara didn't say that anywhere.
Don't we know Bevadai that it's...
No, we know that Mistama. It's possible.
Yaakov mentioned to me that some poskim in Eretz Yisrael, the Shas HaKafah, right before Yantif, were actually Mekilim, based on the fact that there's no time from stainless steel.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He said it was more like the Dati Lulim poskim. He said that a Russian writer of a response, which he characterized as effectively, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. That's how he characterized
Where's the tshuva? Is it printed in the sefer?
Yeah, he had the. I mean, it was on Shabbos, but we had this discussion. So, and he didn't have Rav Hanan. I think it was.
Okay.
I mean, it was one of like the dati lumi.
Yeah.
I was kind of right. Just because you don't taste the bleez, I mean, how do you know there's no bleez in it coming out? You can't.
It doesn't matter. Even if there's a tiny amount, lamaisa. I could be certain, or nearly certain, that there's not Nesinas Tam. So you're saying, okay, you'd have to be Machmir for Min B'Mino. Let's say Min B'She'eno Mino. Every Min B'She'eno Mino Shaila should be able to be Matir.
Well, you there's no 60 times connected to Belize.
I know, but that's irrelevant. I know there's no Tam. I went ahead and by accident I cooked in a treif pot.
Yeah.
Right? So, I know. I know for sure that the pot was clean, and therefore I'm not going to taste tarfus in my food. How do I know for sure? Because in my whole life, I've never tasted tarfus.
You don't know what it is, even if you taste it.
I go ahead. Has anybody tasted it? Has anybody tasted when you cook with the stainless steel pot? Have you ever tasted anything from like last night's supper? Yeah?
I've gone around with the first day that my wife, she's allergic to dairy. Oh. And there have been times where we cooked in a dairy pot. Not 100% of times, but have been times where she like gets the... low-level reaction.
Oh, so good.
The
so that's what... I did make that point, which is, I'm not denying that there are bleos. The question is, could there ever be enough bleos to create Nesinas Tam? So what I'm assuming is that there aren't enough bleos ever for stainless steel that's clean to create Nesinas Tam. Now, there are... Now, if we knew, let's say... there was zero bleos in stainless steel. In other words, they went ahead, they did a radioactive isotope testing, and they decided, okay, there are zero bleos. So then, it would make a lot of sense to be Mako. Because then we would say, okay, this is a material that is not boleo maflet. But once we know there are some bleos, the haraya allergic reactions, right? So once we know there are some bleos, so it's true, we can be very confident that there aren't enough bleos to be no Saint Tom, but we know there are some bleos. So then, l'chora, we still have to be choshesh for what Chazal told us, which is that we're choshesh that there's Nesinas Tam until you know there isn't Nesinas Tam, and we can't assume that there's no Nesinas Tam.
So the threshold for, let's say, a reaction is low. Easy with that Nesinas Tam.
Clearly. That's why you could have, it's less than Shishim. It goes by Te'ima. The body is much more discerning than the tongue in terms of picking up trace amounts for people that are allergic to things. Okay. What about a Kruv? So the Rama writes that there are some places that are Machmir by Kruv, but other things that are not Charifim, so Charif, like Tapuchim or Liftos, Yveshim Nogim Beheter. So the Taz says, what's the Chiddush here? So he says, no, it means Shardvarim She'enem Chamutim Kolkach. So the Yad Yehuda tries to keep our Girsa. The Havamina was that you would be Machmir out the Shanunis. And Kamash Malan, it's Batel Berov. Okay. There's some other minor points on this sif, but I think we'll just skip them. But I'll just tell you, an interesting discussion comes up in the Taz sif cut and yud base, which is, do we need consistency in menhagim? Or do we have to assume that all menhagim are consistent? Take a look. From the Taz, it sounds like you need consistency. From the shach over here, it sounds like you don't need consistency. And we'll just say about minag, like, okay, b'makom shenagu nagu, and you're right, this minag isn't consistent with that minag, but it's no problem. This question, and again, now is not the time to give a shir on it, but it's very interesting. It seems to come up all over the place. Like, when you ask Rabbi Willig questions, a lot of times he'll say, ah, from the fact that we do this, that shows that we assume this, and that's relevant for this. And even if it's out to minag, we don't always, Rabbi Willig at least, sometimes, I don't want to make klalim. But it's a very interesting question. Could you be medayik from one minhag to a different case, and then do we assume consistency? Okay, what about buying a watermelon at ShopRite? Is that going to be mutter? So l'chora, that's going to be okay. And that's going to be better than the case of the lemons, because watermelon is definitely not a davar charif. So even if we're choshish, that you used a dirty knife, they used a dirty knife at ShopRite, they cut chazer and then they went straight and started cutting the watermelons, even if that would happen, but they cut a whole bunch of watermelons and put them out on display. And so, okay, so the first three or four watermelon slices will be batel, and the rest will be mutter. Now maybe you'll say, no, I should do hadacha, because I can, right? Stavri sheish l'matir, and I shouldn't be somech on bitl v'rov, because I could simply wash it off. So, the Rabbi Forst quotes from Rav Yashiv that you could still be mekel, because mistama, they used clean knives at ShopRite. So, beside to cut the watermelon. So if we're dealing with something like watermelon, where A, there's a rov, there's a whole bunch, and B, mistama, they used a clean knife, so you could buy cut watermelons at a non-kosher supermarket. What about salad? So I asked Rabbi Willig, if you go to have to have a business lunch at a non-kosher restaurant with a client, what could you order? Could you order a fruit salad that doesn't have anything charif in it? So he said, yes. So I said, why? So he said, rove. But I said, but what do you mean? They cut this to order. It's not like the case of the Shulchan. He said, rove, just like in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? So I said, no, the Shulchan Aruch, watermelons, I understand to be mekel, but let's say they cut this fruit salad to order. It's not like they have a big bin of fruit salad and they made, you know, they scooped out one for me. That I agree with. But here, let's say they cut, I say, I want a special order fruit salad. Cantaloupe, watermelon, and apples. And they say, okay, sure, we'll make it fresh to order, and they make it for me. So there's no rove there, right? They just cut one apple, one cantaloupe, one watermelon, one little piece. So he said, no, there's a rove that they have clean knives. So Rabbi Willig assumed that, yeah, when we are makel based off of rove, it's not just a rubid isakaman, like in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, but even a rubid alasakaman, if you can make a very good presumption that the knives are clean, so then he was makel. Or the same thing if you ask for a garden salad, assuming that there's no toline issues, you know, cucumbers and tomatoes and carrots and peppers, and there's no salad dressing or anything like that. He also thought one could be makel. I don't know if this is recommended practice. If you could go to a kosher restaurant, that's better. And you could also have meat. But the makom, the efshar, so then one could rely on this and assume that the knives were clean. Yes?
I know I always bring this up, but isn't this hushit assuming that you don't need to do any knife?
Yes. Rabbi Willig Lishitaso, that we could assume that our knives are clean in Hastam. And the assumption that the post can make that knives have shamnunis on it is no longer true. Yes?
Pineapples?
Oh, we talked about that last time.
So why is pineapple
davar? Are pineapples davar charif? So yeah. we spoke to Ray Willig about this earlier, for charif, and he thought, like, maybe, you know, you could make a very strong case that pineapples aren't charif. And probably b'diavad you would be makel for pineapples if it's eno ben yomo. But again, it's hard. Would you want to rely on pineapples l'chatchila to do this? I would think you wouldn't want to. Why? Because Again, we see the poskim at least being concerned, me safek, with fruits that aren't particularly sharp, like tapuchim, chamutzim, right? I don't think it's talking about crab apples that are inedible. So tapuchim, chamutzim, so let's say it's talking about a green, sour Granny Smith apple, but that's not so charif, right? As we even said, snow isn't the most charif thing in the world. So if you cut a pineapple, you know, bidyeved, is there room to be mako for a pineapple? Maybe, especially because we'll assume stam sakin eno ben yomo, and the makom hefsid for sure. But l'chatzchila, to do that, I would say in your salad, just ask for vadai non-charif things in your salad. Okay, yes?
But he must be able to say that this is a world of shitaso, because he's done each bite in the atzma, so each bite had what he wove is not the first apple to be cut?
That's a different point, I think. I don't think, I mean, I think that is a shailav, that's a separate shailav. How Chazal were misaking, you need to do bedik on Amira Matzoi, right? Now, what's the gather of Amira Matzoi? And the answer is 10%, and 10% of what? So I will think 10% of each bite. That has nothing to do with this.
That's not because you're being done
each bite. No, in general, it's a different question. Do you have to down in each bite? But I don't think it's necessarily the same question. I think that's a shaila on the geder of the chova de rabbanan of bedika b'makom mir hamatzoi. Yeah.
Would this be true if I cut my watermelon with a meat knife, eating it with dairy?
If you cut your watermelon with a meat knife and you know it's clean, so then you could for sure eat it with dairy.
You wouldn't eat the dachma there either.
No. If you checked your knife and it was totally clean and mistamet was clean, meaning to say you didn't take it out of you didn't find it laying around on the counter, maybe it was dirty. But you took a knife out of the fleishig drawer and cut a watermelon. So then you without rov, you could be able to eat it with milchiks because it's not charif, so there's no way to get the blios out.
And pineapples, you'd still be able to eat.
Pineapples, I would say that don't put cottage cheese on your pineapples. But if you did, I don't think it's the end of the world. There are those that are more mako. There are those that say pineapples are for sure okay. I'm not saying they're wrong, but it seems to me that the poskim are machmir lechatchila even for these moderately sour, strong tasting foods. Yes.
Beth and I, so Rabbi would say if you have a ben yom plishik knife that you cut lasagna with, assuming we're like
milchik lasagna.
So it's even as cliche as say davar gush. Right. So if any other patient had you accidentally cut your lasagna with, you wouldn't need the itza?
Lasagna, klirish? What, I don't understand.
Let's assume this lasagna. Oh, definitely the klirish, even if it's on your plate. But it would be
No. There you need to do hagala.
For blios, there's no need for the itza?
You don't need to do, yes. You wouldn't need to do, if you, after washing it, if you see, there's zero shamnunis left, then all you'd need to do is hagala.
So,
but well, this is Jun's man shaila, how you pass your knife. But yes, in other words, Ray Willig says, look at your knife. If there's no shamnunis on your knife, zero shamnunis on the knife, you don't have to imagine that there's shamnunis there. And therefore, in that case, you have a treif knife, you need to do hagala, but you wouldn't need to do ni'itza plus hagala.
So rather than saying that ni'itza somehow works for blios, but now
we're choshing. Okay, yeah. We'll get back to Be'ezus Hashem when we do Dine Hagala. We'll get back to that. Okay. What's the halacha if I cut a sour apple and lo and behold, just like in the cartoons, there's a worm in it? So I cut right through the worm. So what's the halacha? So the Taz says, Sifkat and Yevgimel, you need a klipa. Now this doesn't make sense. Because if you think it's no sin tam lufgam, because nafshu shaladim katsa baham, then you shouldn't need anything. And if you think it's no sin tam l'shvach, you should need an atila. So the Prima Gadim says, the Taz is unsure. If it's no sin tam l'fgam or l'shvach, then tim tzolomar l'fgam, there's always the Rush who says that you only need a klipa anyway for dochka. So you sort of mitzdarif these two things. But Ruki Vager points out that if you learn like the shach, who you would require a netila, right? The Shach and Simon Pei Dalid, Sif Katan Lamed assumes that we don't assume it's Pagum. Okay. Sif Hei. So before just reading the halacha of Sif Hei, the Gemara? Well, no, you all saw the Gemara. So there are let's say, five categories of Isser, of depth of Isser that we talk about. So one is Hadacha, right? We've already talked about before that, let's say, a piece of meat and a piece of cheese touch each other. Under normal circumstances, all you need is Hadacha. Good. In a case where it's not Shayach Hadacha, for example, because of its moisture, if you do Hadacha, the Isser will get pushed in more, or because it will get wrecked if you do Hadacha, like a piece of bread or the like. So then we learn in our Sif that there's another option, the option of Greira. So that's why the Gemara says that for Kishos you do Greira, Garir Lebe Piskei. Greira is less than a klipa, obviously. So, what's the difference? How is greira less than a klipa? So the Ran says, because klipa tzricha shete gasa ktsas kedei shetuchal hinatal kula ke'echad. Klipa has to be thick enough that it will hold together, basically. And greira, which is scraping, doesn't require that it be a thin layer that could hold together, just scraping off the surface. Then, so we have Hadacha is the lowest level, then Greira, then Klipa, then Netila, or Netila Smakom. So how much is that? That's Ovi Etzba. The Poskim say about 2 centimeters, or 1 inch. And finally, Kula. Right, so those are the five madregos in terms of the depth of Isser, how far Isser penetrates. So the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that if you cut kishos with a sack and shechatach ba'basar, you need greira. But kilcha delifti, if you have turnips, then it's shari. So what's the difference? So let's remember, what type of knife are we talking about? So there were 2 explanations in Rashi. Rashi's first explanation was it's a dirty knife, and the second explanation is it was a clean knife. So if we assume, like the second explanation, that the knife was clean, so then I could understand the chiluk. I'll say that kishos, like the Mordechai said, are charif ktsas, and therefore there's a little bit of blios, and therefore you'll need greira, but lefes is sweet, it's not maflet at all, and therefore it's mutter. What if you hold like the first explanation of Rashi? Then it's a little shver, because why is it that if you say that the reason for kishos to require greira is because of what? Is because of shamnunis, so isn't there also shamnunis on the lefes? Right? So why is it that you don't need anything from the lefes? So the Rashba and the Rush ask this question, and the answer, you're right. Actually, you'll need Hadacha. Even though the Gemara says that it's okay, it's mutter, means it's mutter behadacha. So we have ekenu kimta. So if we follow the first explanation of Rashi, we're talking about a dirty knife, and kishus needs greira, and you'll say that's because Hadacha doesn't work for kishus. And lefes needs hadacha, but there's no difference between them fundamentally, other than whether they're soft, squishy vegetables or hard vegetables. Huh. Now, if you actually look at Rashi himself, it doesn't sound that way from Rashi. It sounds like from Rashi that the reason why lefes is different, the reason why lefes is mutter, is because ein tama shuma nikarbo hoil v'hu masok. In other words, somehow or another, the lefes has the property of being able to be mevatel the tam hashuman. And therefore, l'chora, you don't even need hadacha at all. And that's what the Ran writes, Bidas Rashi. So again, why is it that, what's the din by lefes? If we assume the knife is dirty, according to the Rashban and the Rashi, you need hadacha. According to the Ran Bedas Rashi, you don't need anything at all because the tam is batal. But we paskin and sifhei like the Rashba, and therefore you need hadacha even belefes that's mematko. The Shach, though, in his second answer assumes hadacha in this case is a chumrah. Now, what about kishus? So kishus, you need greira. So what's that? So we already said at the beginning, either that's because the knife is dirty and you can't do hadacha because it's soft. So the hadacha, instead of washing off the taste of iser or basar, will push it more in. Or it's because there's no shamnunis and they are charif tzas. Or because Rashi holds that dof de sakina on its own causes a little bit of blios, even if there is no charifas. Fine. The Gemara also tells you that ipasich behu delifta shapir dami. And won't get into the details too much, but you saw over here that according to Sefer HaTruma, if you follow Rashi's view, this is dafka lefes. Why? Because lefes somehow counterbalances the charifas of the tznon, and therefore it's only going to be if you switch off l'chora, one lefes, one snown, one lefes, one snown. That's the only time you'll be okay with snown. The Beis Yosef notes that the Rambam and the Rif left this whole din out. And the Beis Yosef says maybe it's because they weren't goresit, or maybe they were goresit and they thought that lefes is lav dafka. It's really anything that's hard that will effectively clean off the knife. So then there's going to be two nafkaminas between the view of Rashi versus the Rambam. Number one, according to Rashi, it's dafka lefes that's mevatel tam mehasakin. According to the Rambam, it's anything. This halacha is simply telling me that if you cut something that effectively cleans off the knife, so you don't have to be choshish anymore. And then the second nafkamina, is this going to only work once, or will it work forever? According to Rashi, if you cut a lefes and then you cut one snone, that snone will be okay, but the second snone will be usser again, or fleshix again, because the blios will be rejuvenated and resuscitated by the snone. Whereas according to Rambam, that the idea here is that it cleans it off. It's not that it's mevatel the tam and mematek it, but it just cleans it off, so then you could cut 100 snones afterwards and they would all be okay. Fine. One last point in the simen. Take a look at the Pischei Tshuva Sif Katan Hei, who writes that if you have a hard time doing Greira, you could, what do you do? Right, this is actually, let's take the question that I told you about before, earlier in the year. So let's say you live in a city that doesn't have a kosher fish market. So you're going to buy your fish at a non-kosher store. So you have to, first of all, like we said, know that the fish is actually kosher. So you check for simanim, or if a person really has tefiyas ayin, that would be okay. Or it's salmon, so we could assume there's no non-kosher fish with salmon, so everybody has tefiyas ayin with the salmon. Good. So now, but the problem is that maybe they used a dirty knife. So what's going to be the halacha if they use a dirty knife? So we'll say, go ahead and do hadacha. But let's say you can't do hadacha. Maybe fish is like kishus, where doing hadacha is going to make it worse. So then we'll say you'll need to do greira. What about if you can't do greira? Right? If you tried to do greira on this fish, it would ruin the fish. It would be to take a knife and scratch it off. It would be very hard. So is there another option? So that's what's dealt with by the Chavos Yair, quoted here in the Pischei Tshuva. And there's a bit of a stira in terms of what he says, because at the beginning he says, if you can't do greira, yadichenu v'yishav sheif b'makom negiyas asaken yafe yafe umutar. So let's say you do hadacha plus shifshuf. So what would this be? Let's say you run your fish at the point that it was cut by the potentially non-kosher knife under a very strong, heavy stream of water. So that would be okay. That's what he writes at the beginning of the tshuva. At the end of the tshuva, he says, well, one second, but if we hold of the Ran says that that's going to do the opposite of what you want, right? Because if you run it under a heavy stream of water, instead of washing it off, it's going to push it in. So then he says, okay, v'yavur alav b'koach chudo shel sakin. You have to scrape it off. So which one is it? It's not clear. The Chavos Yavi Yari is very unclear, because that second one is put in parentheses. And it's also unclear in the Pischei Tshuva when it's quoted. Halacha L'maisa, the Yad Yehud and the Badir Shulchan are Machmir anyway, and they say that based off of the Ran, this type of washing under a very heavy stream will not be effective. It causes the opposite effect. But others are Makil. And as I mentioned to you before, when we were in Edmonton, I spoke to Poskim at the OU about the Shaila. So they thought that one could be Makil to wash it under a heavy stream of water. We said that won't work for the Ran and their Poskim that are Machmir. So I assume what they were saying is here there's more room to be Makil. Because first of all, in the stomach, the knives were clean, which case you're okay anyway. And even if they were dirty, especially if they're cutting a bunch of things, like you're buying packages of salmon, so then there's both, like the Lemons case earlier. And therefore, at least in this case, you could be somech on the opinion of the Chavos Yair and wash it under an intense stream of water. Yeah?
Why did they say the knives were clean if it's in the fish market and they're cutting a ton of food?
So the assumption that it's clean is not as good. There's stray fish all over the place, right. So you're right. If they're doing it for you, so you could ask them to wash it, and if there's, ask them to at least wash their knife. And if they're not doing it for you, you're just buying it from a pack, you know, a display, so then there's probably rov. So both of those cases, there's a tzad lahakel. And that tzad lahakel in conjunction with the Chavos Yair, that you could wash it under a heavy stream of water. So that's what they thought you could combine those two tzirufim lahakel. Again, I'm not recommending this practice if you could buy fish with a hechsher. Or they said, you know, the OU said the best thing to do is to, if you're going to have them, you know, do your fish, is to bring your own knife. But if those aren't available options, so this is what they thought you could do. Yeah?
But the fish with the hechsher, even at places that have non-kosher fish,
The Echsherim are make sure that that there's a proper, appropriate hashkacha to make sure that everything was cut with only kosher, clean knives. Right, so you definitely don't have to worry about that. That's the point of the Echsher.
I figured if all that remains is just a need for hadaf or whatever, so it's not something
to
do. But
no. That if it's a reliable hashkacha, so that's exactly what they're paying for, to make sure that you don't have to do anything like that or worry about that. Yeah.
If it's in the display, you can assume that they've already cut many fish of that kosher type.
Right. In other words, let's say there's a display of cut salmon, right? So now there's 20, 30, 40 packages of fish there. So even if they didn't wash their knives, they cut lobster and then they went straight to the salmon. Good. And so the first couple of fish would be a problem, but the rest would be okay. So I'll be rov. It's mutter. So right, you have to be choshesh. They did salmon, lobster, salmon, lobster, salmon, lobster. No. So again, that's why we'll still say go ahead. They thought you should still do wash it under a heavy stream. That plus rove, or that plus telling them to wash their knives, they thought could be mako. It's not just it's not just the knives, because also there's the cutting board, there's all sorts of fish juice floating around, you never know where it came from and the like. So that's why you wouldn't just rely on the rove, you should at least also chaperein the Chavos Yair and do the shift. It's not even clear at all, it's not clear to me that hadacha wouldn't work, right? In other words, who says fish absorbs al yidei hadacha? It's not like a kishuin. I don't know. I sort of imagine that's like something like watermelon, right? If you had a dirty watermelon and you washed it.
In the case of in the district of Jubilee today, it's a whole fish, and like it's a gutted fish. So if you wash it off, I'm saying you have water like going into the fish. If you had just a piece of salmon, so then it could be that.
You're saying that maybe that, right? Okay, could be. Could be that. It depends on how the fish is cut and the like. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. Ad kan simen tzadi.